Father, we are always delighted to be in your presence. We take pleasure in your presence. It's our bread, it's our life, it's all that we have. Thank you for your children that have gathered before your throne tonight. Thank you for what you're doing in all our lives. Father, thank you that you're a God of seasons, and you always will cause us to bear fruit in seasons. Father, let this time that we have committed to you, devoted to you, Father, may it bring glory to you by the fruit that is manifested in our lives by reason of your word. Thank you for this altar of prayer, O God, that has been sustained by these daughters, your daughters of Zion, and by your children. Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you're doing through this altar. Remember your children who, O God, labored day and night to sustain this incense before your throne. We know you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Have your way tonight, O God. Reveal yourself to us. Reveal Jesus to us. Continue to empower us through your word, that we can truly walk in the power of your word, that we can truly, O God, be established in that which you've called us to do. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you all for your prayers, and just knowing how hungry you are for God, I've been on this line consistently, is so inspiring. I was with somebody today, and they were sharing with me from their place of observation in what God is doing in the nation. They see, they are around, they work with governments and different people, and we're sharing how a lot of things have been shifted to favor the believers. A lot of government rules, a lot of things have been shifted to favor the freedom of Christianity in America. And just a lot of people seeing from different aspects of their ministries are really seeing some levels of breakthrough across America. So we thank God for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your prayers. Last week we were not on the line because we were at a meeting with American different ministries, and we see fruit in those meetings because of your prayers. Thank you all so much. Amen. Tonight I was just waiting and praying. Yeah, I think there's somebody is not muted on the line. They are discussing really loud, and we are hearing you. So please, again, if you don't mind, if you can mute your phone, just like our chairman has been always advising us on this line. If you can mute your phone, it will be very helpful so that we all can hear what we're doing. Thank you for muting your phone, please. Thank you so much. All right. Okay, I was really praying about tonight, and there was something that really came to my spirit this last week, and I was sharing some of that with our prayer leaders here on Wednesday, one of the days we gathered here for prayer. And I realized that is something I need to share with us tonight. And the question that came to me was, you know, I looked at the stability of certain people in the Bible, especially under times of trials, under the times, I mean, nothing has changed. Every generation go through different times, mountains and valleys. So I looked at certain people, their stability in times of trials and their focus in the things of God, why others are falling apart. And I looked at the condition of those who fall apart during trials and the backslid. And then I was looking at the mountains and valleys of my personal life and the things I've been through, where I needed to grow and where God is giving me strength here and there. And I was looking, what has really helped me a little bit consistent towards the things of God, regardless of the seasons of trials and mountains and valleys of waiting on the Lord. So I noticed a common thread, and that's what I want to kind of share with you a little bit tonight, just to encourage us, especially the season that we are living in now. There's somebody on the line. Hello. There's somebody on the line that is not muted, and we are hearing your discussion. I'm sure the person is not paying attention, but hopefully everybody can mute their line so that we can be able to communicate clearly. Thank you very much. Okay, so tonight, again, after using the questions in my heart, because my question is, God, I don't want to be, I don't want to love you today because you blessed me, you did something good for me. I want to love you the same, no matter what, if things are not going well. I want to be like those in the Bible that seems to be consistent in their pursuit for you, regardless of the condition they find themselves, like Job, like just different people in the Bible that were consistent in their love towards God. And I looked at, again, the life of Saul in the Bible. Here is a man that was made a king from being nobody. He became a king, and he was crowned king of, the first king of Israel. What did he do? There was something that was missing in his life, that he was king, he had everything to his disposal, but he lived most of his whole time in the king's position, chasing after David, running after David, trying to kill him, trying to apprehend him, trying to stop him, just totally, sometimes sleeping in caves just to find David, was restless, trying to get a hold of David. There was something missing. So I was looking at, what was that? Why would somebody have a position like this and be so insecure? And then I looked at the life of Samson, who was given an incredible anointing, you know, upon his life. But still, there was just something that was missing, that a woman who was very manipulative, the enemy had to use the woman literally to dethrone such a powerful man of God, you know, just made a waste of his calling. So what was it missing? What is this insecurity that was in, so this void that was in Samson, regardless of the anointing? Was this void, was this thing missing that was in life of Saul, that his life was totally threatened by the call that was upon David's life? You know, I looked at all these things, and then I realized that God is not ignorant of what he has created. God created us. He knows us. He knows what is weak in man. He knows what is strong in man. He knows from the fall of man what was missing, you know. So we can cover so many areas, but I want to look at one specific thing that we can really draw strength from. We can draw understanding from, we can build our confidence around to help us walk through this road, especially the days that are coming. My brothers and sisters, the world will not get better. The Bible says in the last days, darkness will grow even darker. But God wants his light to shine even brighter in the midst of darkness. So how do we stand in such a challenging generation, culture? I realized that God, who created us, knows the weakness that is in the flesh from the fall, and has made provision. So I started drawing some understanding from the words of Jesus, how what I'm about to share with you can really be effective in our life. Jesus, in the book of Matthew chapter 7, after all his sermon on the mountain from chapter 5, chapter 6 to chapter 7, breaking down the kingdom, the principles of the kingdom, you know, the new covenant and all, he started summarizing the end of his teaching by saying, he that does what he's saying, a doer of the word, is like a man who builds his house upon a rock, who digs deep and builds his house on a rock. And he says the storm will come, the rain will come, the wind will come. He says, but that house stands. Then he says, but the person who hears these words of the kingdom but does not practice it, does not put it into practice, is like a man who builds his house, but he builds it upon a sand. When the rain comes and the storm comes, the house is swept away. So I started seeing that there's something about why people will be in church for 20 years, 30 years, but still when storm comes, it's like, it just, you know. And I see other people, you know, in the Bible that they stand. Regardless of what is happening, they stand. So Jesus gave this illustration that there is something, when we get a hold of it, establishes us in God. That as long as we live in this world, there will be trials, there will be wind, there will be storm, no matter what that looks like to us. But Jesus says there is a place that we can stand, and our house is sure. Nothing can affect it. If the wind will come and go, but we are established. But also, if we don't take heed to these things, it's very clear that everything that we built on can be wasted under a trial or severe challenges of culture or a generational trial. So I saw that Jesus used the word built on a rock. He used the word rock, something that is unmovable, unshakable. Is your grounded, your foundation is solid. He used that metaphor of a rock. Now, there's another illustration that Paul gave in Ephesians about standing, about staying solid no matter what happens. But Paul used the word to be rooted and grounded in love. He used the word rooted, you know, means when something is rooted, is severely rooted, the wind will blow on trees, the storm will come, it will blow here and blow there. But because of the strength, deeply rooted tree, it stands. It stands. So, we know the power of God's love. God is love and all this stuff. But the aspect I want to look at today to help us in these things I've shared, to help us reflect, no matter what we're going through, on this thing. So that we can be able to always overcome. So I want to read a scripture to you. And this scripture will give us the background for what God has shown to me to stay in this ground, to build around this understanding, and it will be well. I'll be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 16. I'll read from the verse, this is a familiar scripture, from verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say you are Elijah, others say you are Jeremiah, others say you are one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Then, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And then here's what he said to him, based on this revelation. He says, and I say unto you, unto thee, that thou art Peter, And upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And then he went further. This church, the church is not the physical building. We are the church. He says, this church, this church that I build on this rock, is not only that the gates of hell, the government, the temptations, the trials, the confrontation, resistance of hell, will not only cannot even stand against it. Of course, you prevail. But he says, based on this, I will give you unto thee the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever that are bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever that shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. You see, what the Lord is saying here, I, as the Lord was using this scripture to give me understanding about himself, how he operated, how he stood, and the very grounds that he represented, he stood upon. And he wanted to teach his disciples this as he was preparing them for ministry. He's going to be leaving. He wants them to know something that will keep them the same thing that kept him. And basically, Jesus was introducing them to the greatest thing that matters as long as you are here in the world is their identity, who they really are. Everything has to be seen from that point. Because he says that's the foundation. Foundation is that's the basis for spiritual victory and breakthrough. The very foundation. So let's see what this foundation is, this basis. He says, who do men say that I am? Why is he asking the question? When people ask you, who are you, means they're saying, what is your identity? How do you identify yourself? Who are you? How do you represent yourself? What are you standing on? What basis are you who you are? So they started answering, and they said, oh, because of these miracles and all these things you do, people believe, they think you are John the Baptist that just passed. Others would say, okay, because of you hear from God and all this stuff, they think you're Jeremiah. Oh, because of the miracles and the signs, you're one of the prophets. You know, so because of the supernatural nature of what he is doing, they are referencing who he is based on the past and the prophets of the old. Because that's all they knew. So here, Jesus was, again, I was looking at it. He says, let's bring it to us. Because of the miracle, is your identity based on your title? Because of the money, is your life based on you being called a billionaire, a millionaire? Is that your identity? Is your title your identity? You're an apostle. Is that your strength? Is that your identity? You are what, a millionaire? Is that your identity? You are a prophet? Is that your identity? You are a pastor? Is that your identity? You are a husband, a successful husband? You are a wife? Is a wife your identity? Is a husband your identity? You know, just look at it. Are your children your identity? Your father, your mother? What are you standing on? Every one of these things, they can pass away instantly. And if that's what you're standing on, you're done. You're over. Anything you stand on that does not have internal value, anything you stand on that can be shaken by earthly disaster, anything you stand on that can disappear because of crisis or circumstance, if that's your identity, if that's where you put your life identity, if that's what you stand on, Jesus is saying, that's not your foundation. The wind, when storm come, that could take that thing away, what will you do? That means your life is gone. And if that thing is tempted or that thing is under pressure, what will you do? So here Jesus is saying, they are saying, you're this, you're that, you're that. You know, he's a prophet, that's true. He's a miracle worker, that's true. He's everything they are talking. He is a teacher, that's true. He's a man of God, that's true. All these great things, they can call him or relate to him. But Jesus waited. Then he asked them, who do you say that I am? You've been with me 3 years. You've seen everything. Now, the reason they were silent is because he did not accept all the things they mentioned. Because they themselves thought the same. So when he put it to them, who do you say that I am? Means that, oh, you're not one of these things. So they too didn't know who he is. Because they would have just said, you, that's your identity. But Peter received a direct inspiration from the Father. He used the word the Father. He wouldn't say the Spirit of God. Of course, the Spirit of God. He used the word the Father because God is about to reveal something to them. It was the Father that revealed it to Peter. And he said, this is who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. Christ, the Son of God. The anointed Son of God. The anointed one, the Son of God. So, immediately Peter received Jesus' identity. His true identity. Not the title. Not the miracles. Not whether I'm rich today and poor tomorrow. Not anything that is earthly promotion that can go tomorrow. Not the anointing, not the this. He did not build any of that. He received something that is internal, connected directly with heaven. Say, you are Christ, the Son of the living. Jesus says, based on this, my church is built. This is the foundation. Foundation means the first thing you build before you build a house. The first thing you establish before you go any further. The very thing that ministry, everything about ministry, about the church we stand on. Why? Because hell can test everything. If it's not built on this foundation, it will be tested and it will be wasted. So Jesus says, you are going to be representing me when I'm gone. I want you to know what the foundation is. Is sonship. You have to know whose son you are, whose daughter you are. Why is this important? Why is this the very foundation for Jesus's ministry and the transition for all of us to come into the kingdom? Why? Because the very thing Jesus came to destroy is the old foundation. The very thing Jesus came to abolish is the old foundation. What's the old foundation? The old Adamic bloodline. The foundation has been broken. The root system has been polluted. So everything from Adamic line can be challenged by Satan, can be corrupted by Satan, can be dethroned by Satan because it's been corrupted. The foundation is faulty. So the whole reason God became flesh was to build a fresh foundation, was to start a new bloodline, a new tree line. But Jesus in this revelation used the word foundation, means if you don't build on this, the gates of hell will challenge you and you will not stand, you will not win, you will not prevail over the gates of hell, because the old foundation has been. You remember this, the word of Solomon. He says, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? So Jesus is now revealing the foundation that he stands on. If Jesus, this is his foundation, then there's no other foundation, Paul says, that we can build on, but that which is Christ. So my brothers and sisters, I started listening carefully to what the Lord is saying, and I realized that is where the church has been struggling. We in general, because we are building on titles. We are our confidence is in people. Our confidence, we exalt so many things rather than building on something that is unmovable. Peter said in the book of Hebrews, he says there's a shaking coming. He says when God will shake the heavens, and he says anything that can be shaken will be shaken, but the only thing that will stand are those things that are established, that cannot be shaken. From this story, from the stories Jesus told about foundation, and from this, the only thing that stands is built on this revelation that you know whose child you are. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Because there is no need for us to be born again if the life we had before will sustain trials or will make it to heaven. The reason we are born again is because our foundation in the flesh is corrupted. So the moment we become a Christian, we can no more build our life or establish whatever we do on the flesh. There's no more confidence on the flesh. We now begin a transitional process, a renewal process, where the whole focus of our life is built on who we are as spirit men, the sons and daughters of God. That's what it means to be born again. And that's why this foundation cannot be challenged by hell. So Jesus said, based on this foundation, I will build my church. And hell cannot stop you. Nothing in this world can stop you. The mountains, if you become a billionaire tomorrow, you will not put a focus there, because that's not your identity. If you're poor today, you will not complain, because you know who you are. You are not blow. The wind of this world does not carry you here tomorrow. No, as a son, your security is guaranteed. You know who you are, you know whose you are, and you know who you represent. You know, we talk about peace in the time of trial. We talk about peace in different situations. What really gives you peace? Security. Security. Why will Paul be writing to the church and saying, God has not given you the spirit of insecurity or intimidation or fear, but the spirit of power, love, sound mind? Many people, we don't have sound mind because a lot of turbulence or things that are shaking on the outside begin to shake things on our inside. We're human. But God is reminding us that if we will allow by the Spirit for this foundation, this understanding be established, that would be the very center of our peace. And let me use just a simple illustration in the flesh. Let me emphasize, this illustration is in the flesh. And if you understand it in the flesh, it will make some sense to you about the spiritual things, about what it means when Jesus says, Christ, you are the sons of God. If this is our understanding, know you now that we are the sons of God, that when he appears, 1 John, we are just like him. So here's this example in the flesh. If, let's say, one of you on the line, let me say, Sister Nancy, the one that sang for us, Nancy, if you're born from the royal family in England, that's the most recognized ones we know in our present time, that still maintains their kingship. So, if you are born in England and you are part of the royal family, why, if you're born into that family, why, what is it that would trouble your heart? What will you be worried about? You will not be worried about having a bank account. You will not be worrying about sickness. You will not be worrying about security. They have their most covered security, state protection. Money, they don't need an account. You don't need a house. You can you can just have keys to anywhere you want to live, in the palace or wherever, buildings all over the place. You don't have to own a car. Any car you want to go, you just go in. You chauffeur wherever you want to go. Whatever you desire is at your desire, as your wish, because it's already been provided. And what gives you that privilege to stand in such place of security? The bloodline. The bloodline. So when you say, I'm born from the royal family, like they are today, means you were born into an established government, established domain, that everything is being provided for. Everything is already been provided. You don't have to work for one thing. It's already been given from your birth. It's been established. That's what the royal family of England will look. In the flesh, security. But the only reason they might not have peace is because if they're not born again, there's no peace. There's a void. But in the flesh, that's what security looks like. That's what confidence looks like. So Jesus is saying, the moment we truly understand what it means to have, be called the sons of God, we're not talking about earthly royal line. First Peter talks, he says, we are now a royal priesthood, a peculiar nation. But that's still the battle we face, our identity. Paul talks about it in Galatians. You are this, but your mind refuses to accept this until there's a shift, a change. So our battle is really to know who we are. When the police stop you, the first thing is your identity. Jesus, when he was being harassed, Satan was opposing him, going into to possess and to establish his ministry. The moment was, the first confrontation was, who are you? Why will I allow you into the domain from the fall of Adam for you to exploit, to come and rule? Simply, prove to me that you're the son of God. If you're the son of God, if you're the son of God, if you, so all the trials, everything we go through, one thing that God wants us to establish, to build upon, so that we can have peace. Whether we have money in our pocket, just knowing who you are gives you peace. Whether you are very rich, knowing who you are will not allow money. Your spiritual nature cannot be manipulated by natural blessings. But if you're not built, your character is not built on a spiritual, your spirit man, the natural things of this world will blow you here. If you have it, it blows you here. If you don't have it, you feel this way. We're just going with the wind of the flesh, wherever it blows. And as we go deeper into this generation, things are going to get worse. But God wants to raise up sons and daughters who are not manipulated by the changes of culture and the wind of darkness, but they stay consistently as light in the midst of a dark generation. So, one of the very key to walking in this established principle is knowing who you are. And you are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. That is amazing. That is exactly what Jesus died for. For God to come, become flesh, to die, it's not just to forgive our sin, but to give us his life. And that life is in his son. And we have it now. So we need to really reflect on this. We need to meditate on this. Sometimes when I'm going through some things, I need something, so I need that. I'm facing some challenges, no matter where the wind is blowing, sometimes I just stay and I look and I lift my hands. And as I worship, I meditate. Are you kidding me? I'm your son. What else do I need? Why would I be worried when I have this? I'm your son. That's enough for me. And I just worship God. And after a while, God takes care of it all. But I use the moment of just reflecting on the greatest possession God has given me, my identity, to silence the moment until the breakthrough comes. To stay in that place of joy, in that place of peace, because that alone is unshakable, is unmovable, is unchangeable. Nothing can take it away from you. You are the sons, daughters of the Most High God. That's enough. Now, in just summarizing this, Jesus told a parable about, you know, especially in prayer or whatever we do as believers when we don't really are secure in our identity. He talked about two sons living with their father, meaning they are living in the house. So we're in the church, meaning it's like somebody in the church. But the two of them have misplaced their identity. One of them, just his identity is just walking, meaning he just takes pride in, he goes, you know, goes to work all the time with his father's laborers. Oh, you know, boss this, boss that, you know, he likes to be called boss, you know, and whatever, you know, all the titles, working in his father's farm. But that's his identity. The work, the job, maybe the position, maybe the title, maybe the whatever he receives from the name that has been called. That's our identity. People fight so much. I don't understand how people put so much emphasis on title. You know, when they have something far more valuable. Jesus didn't die for titles. He died so we can become his God's own son. The greatest privilege is to be an heir to God's throne. So, one of them focused on his job and whatever privileges he receives from there. Another one focused on maybe he wants to have, you know, he wants to have money, to have houses, have women, have these, have just material lust. He just wants to be respected or known because he has money. So all they asked God was to give them material blessing, because their identity, they were not clear of who they are. They didn't really know their father. So when God gave them all these things, when their father gave them, he said this one went and rioted. What does it mean? He wasted it. It was wasted. Do we know how much today? Who knows if we are wasting things God gives to us? Because we are struggling with insecurity. We are competing because of insecurity. We are doing things because of insecurity. Who knows what we're wasting when we do that? He said he wasted the money. He wasted his life. And then, thank God for mercy, he came to the point God allowed him come, had nothing. Probably if he still has a lot of money or has stuff, he will still continue in his blindness. But because he came short, the Bible says he went to, ended up in a pig pen and started living way below expectation. And that's when he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, what did he realize? He now realized the true void, the thing that was missing all along, the thing that he was looking for but did not know how to ask for it, because he did not have understanding that his identity was misplaced. He realized, all I needed was my father. And I needed my father to know all he needed was me being a son. If I could connect to him as a son, that's all that matters. So at this point now, the son realized, I didn't need money. I don't need all this stuff. My peace is, if I go back, I'll just say, Father, all I just want is to be your servant, to be just close enough to you. I'm not privileged, I'm not worthy to be called your son now, but let me come close enough to you to even be a servant. I realized that your presence, you are all I needed, just to be there with you. Guess what? When he came back home with that identity, the father now knew my son has come. Because he said, this my son was lost. is now come. He was dead, he's alive. When the father now know that the son has now come as a son, what did he do? He inherited robe, new shoe, new ring, authority, all this stuff. And the Lord started saying, the moment we understand this foundation, the moment our mindsets have been renewed, the moment we come in terms, we now know that we know, we establish our confidence, our life on sonship or daughters and sons of God, that's when God says, I'm now ready to use you at a level you've never been used. Because once we build on sonship, we will not be manipulated by blessings or no blessings, whether we are beaten, whether we are sick, all those things don't bother us. Because this identity secures us in every situation that we are tested in. You know the first thing Jesus did when he came out for his ministry? Do you know what God did? Jesus was not anointed until God now established him as a full-grown son in the spirit. At the moment God anointed him, he made an announcement. He said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And that's when this dove, the spirit like a dove, rested on him. When was Joseph established to be king? When character has been established, he was so secure in his character that rich, poor, he didn't care anymore. It was so easy for him to forgive his brothers because he was no more insecure about who he is. He was established to rule. He was given authority. Like the prodigal son was given ring, he was given robe. He was not given authority in his father's house. When was David made king? When David, after much trial, was so secure, he could not even kill Saul, his own enemy at that point, because he was so secure of himself. He didn't take matters in his hands. God says, you're ready to be king. So if you look at all this stuff, we realize that Jesus came so that we can have his life. And that life is to be the sons of God. That alone, we can feed on it the rest of our life in this earth, even if we have nothing. So my prayer as we move into the realm of this generation, what God, you remember what Paul says to the Roman church? He says the whole earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Meaning, all this trouble, all this cry, everybody in the world is saying, where are the sons of God? Where are those who have found their security, their confidence in God as their son? Who have that confidence to love us in our insecurity, to pray for us? Jesus, pray for your enemies. Love. We are so secured. We are not moved by people who think, call us enemies, people who speak bad of us, people who gossip about us. Nobody can change your identity. Nobody. You are secured. You are confident in humility, in your identity. So you're not moved by this person gossiping about you, this person accusing you, you're reacting here, you're reacting there, you're out of control here. It's just because of insecurity. So my prayer as we share this is where I'm saying, God, I want this. I really want this. Do this in my life. I want to walk in security in you. And finally, you remember, even the devil testifies about the sons of God. They said to the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, they said, Paul we know. We know who he is. Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? So my brothers and sisters, it's important we know who we are. So when the devil, no matter what we face, when they know who we are, they respect us. They honor and they bow, they step away because they recognize, I can't mess with this person. They know who they are and I don't want to get in trouble with them. So I pray that this will help us. The little that I know about is, I'm asking God to establish, but the little I know, it has taken me through so much, and I've found comfort in it. And that's why I feel you can be comforted knowing this is where your security is. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. We have no other foundation to build on. We have no other security. Circumstances can come. Father, anything can happen in the flesh that can totally be intentionally to distract us from who you are. But Father, we thank you. No matter what the mountains look like, no matter what the valleys look like, we know that once you are with us, you are in us, and we are your children, we will always be at peace in your presence. Thank you so much for giving us a new identity through your Son, Jesus. And Father, establish us in this so that we can walk in victory and in peace no matter what comes our way. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' name.